Hallelujah. I called the front desk of the hotel, Metro Ramada. Young man answered the phone. I said, he said, you're checking out Saturday? I said, no, next Wednesday. And he was a pause on the other end of the line. He said, oh, they want to know what's going on down here. They've never had to extend the rooms of the guest speakers for camp meeting. But they are this time. We're not just doing this just to make history. We're doing this because God said it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about the bush burning up because God did it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Something very, very beautiful happened to me just as I was getting ready for service. I say this because I am in the company of great people. This may be the last camp meeting I ever preach. I don't know. I'm not worried about it. But if I ever get to preach another one, I will only preach it if they'll let Wayne Huntley and Billy Cole come. It's the only way. And Brother Cole called my motel room. He didn't have to do this. The man has seen so many people filled with the Holy Ghost. He's just a phenomenal individual. He called my hotel room. He said, how you doing? How you feeling? I said, fine. So you ready to go? I said, I'm ready to go. He said, whatever you want me to do tonight. He said, I will obey. He said, just command it and I'll do it. That was beautiful. That done something to me. Then he walked over to me a while ago and he said, they may seem a little tired tonight, but don't let it shake your faith. You do what you feel in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If anything, my faith got a lot stronger. I'm used to things going on. I'm used to things extending. So if this is shocking y'all, that's your problem. Me, I'm going to rest tomorrow, go to church somewhere Sunday morning, and be back here Sunday night. By the way, I'm not the only one preaching Sunday night. The whole Revival Trio is preaching Sunday night. They were told by the Hunt and myself. Praise God. Brother Triplett called my motel this morning. He said, oh, man of God. That's the sweetest, kindest one individual. And I said, yes, Brother Triplett. He said, we've just got a little idea we'd like to do. So he began to tell me what the suggestions were concerning Sunday night service. He said, Brother Creekmore, he said, if you don't agree with it, we'll drop it right now. Won't even discuss it if you don't agree with it. I said, me, I don't care what you do. I'm just glad to be here. If you want Brother Cole preaching, Brother Huntley preaching, Joe Wayne Hillman preaching, Brother Brown preaching, Brother, I don't care. Let's just get the little light of glory in it and take it till his teeth fall out. Hallelujah. I'm going back to 2 Kings chapter 18 tonight. I know you're going to help me preach. I'm glad they turned that little sign off up there. It was advertising free soft drinks at Mazio's Pizza Place. Forget about that right now. We got all the refreshments anybody needs. 2 Kings chapter 18, starting with verse 1. That came to pass in the third year of Hosea, son of Elah, king of Israel. And if I don't pronounce any of these words right, don't worry about it. They should have put John or Joe or Jerry or Dole or Terry. That Hezekiah, everybody say Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 119 years old he was when he began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years, kept his church 29 years in Jerusalem. Go down to verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. Mighty nice heritage. If David done it, and if David enjoyed it, And if David was a man after God's own heart, couldn't pattern yourself after anybody any better. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. My subject to you tonight, on this Friday night, this beautiful crowd. Normally this would be a night for all the goodbyes. Instead, it's just, hey, continue on. Friends here tonight, the chances from Louisiana, my didn't pop a chance to preach today. Mercy. My subject for you tonight is in one word. When Hezekiah found the brazen serpent, out of contempt, out of disgust, he looked at it and simply said one word, Nehushtan. To break that and to interpret what he was simply trying to say was, what is your God? Or what has become your God? I know who my God is tonight. I know who my God is tonight. Lift your hands and join every man of God on this platform and let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. All right, this is one of those nights where everybody helps. You may be seated. You won't know who I'm going to call on tonight. I have some dear friends in this congregation. One of them is Danny Chance. I've preached many for revivals for him. We've lost count. He told me if I ever pastored a church, he was going to have me running, crawling, whatever. Because Lord knows in his church I've had him doing every bit of it. Tonight is one of those nights a lot of folks are going to help me. I'm going to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I'm going to read just about the same thing I've done read to you. You don't have to turn there. Trust me that I'm reading to you from the Word of God. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites. Here is my priest and Levites tonight. Hezekiah Travis, Hezekiah Triplett, Hezekiah Gray, stand while I call your name. Hezekiah Hill, Hezekiah Sandy, I gotta have some Levites and priests here tonight. Hezekiah Reed, Hezekiah Ellard, Hezekiah Nations, Hezekiah Forsythe, Hezekiah Ordon, Hezekiah Pittman, Hezekiah Hickman, and Hezekiah Spears. I got me a good board. Hezekiah was elected district superintendent of Jerusalem. Had a good board here, but I'm not through. He didn't only have priests, he had Levites. From the revival council, I want you to run up here to this platform. Hezekiah Kraft, Hezekiah Duncan, Hezekiah Edwards, Hezekiah Dillon, Hezekiah Townley, Hezekiah Wheeler, and Hezekiah Dyke. Move! Come on, we're in a hurry, suddenly. We got to get it all together. And also the Bible says, he gathered them together into the east street, the priests and the Levites. I'd like to add a tree over that tonight, if you don't mind. Hezekiah Cole, Hezekiah Creekmore, and Hezekiah Huntley. All right, you guys, get your swords in your hand. We're going to fight. I said, we're going to fight. I'm going to add two more to this list. Hezekiah Chance from Monroe and Hezekiah Chance from St. Delaney. Get up here. Hurry up. It's revival time everywhere. And I'm going to add another one to that list. Hezekiah Mangan. I used one of these markers to mark in my Bible. It was just laying right here on the right. And it's the check that the man sent from the... I just love checks. Alright, have I got my crew up here? Get ready, Israel. Revival again. I want all of my board members now, from Hezekiah Travis down to Hezekiah Chance and Mangan, to sit out, but I want you on the edge of your seats. You can sit all the way, whatever you want to do. You're my pal. Well, 25 years old, Brother Travis. Brother Travis, I want to say Brother Kraus. Everything's whirling so fast, like you said the other night. Can't get it all out. 25 years old, he was elected pastor of that church. 25 years old. He stayed there 29 years. When he quit that church, Brother Huntley, and walked in and had his first board meeting. Okay? The priests and the Levites. 25 years old. What he had been doing and studying for a long time that maybe some of them forgot was how David done things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had reached back, way back yonder, and studied what David done. He realized how David loved his child. He realized David's feelings toward God. He realized David's character, not only toward God, but toward his people. Hallelujah. And he also realized that David's heartbeat was after God. And so when he called his first opponent, oh, by the way, Hezekiah Odom, I want you to. And I don't know, did I leave anybody out up here? Hezekiah Drury, anybody else I leave out? Okay, y'all Hezekiah. First board meeting now, here we are. Hezekiah is 25 years old. And those men that he gathered into that boardroom there, the priests and the Levites, they had those gray hairs one for nothing. There were some old men in there. They had some years behind them. And this 25-year-old young man had to walk in there, and first of all, he had to get this mental block out of his mind that he was a captain. Okay? He looked at all of them that were older than he was. They'd been living longer than he'd been born. Their age. I mean, he was their age, his elders. He was looking at all of that. Number one, when he walked into the boardroom and had his first meeting with that boardroom of that church, he was not interested in the treasury. I'll preach to y'all in a minute, okay? We're having a board meeting. We've instructed us not to let anybody out, so y'all gonna have to stay here and listen to our board meeting. How many of you have at times been curious what went on in the boardroom? Come on, raise your hands. Stand. Have you ever been curious what goes on in the boardroom? Stand up. I want to see. You have been curious what goes on in the boardroom. You're not being honest. Some of you that are getting ready for local license, you need to pay attention. So now it is your chance, like Brother Wolf told him Thursday night. If you've never sang in a choir, Thursday night is your night whether you sing or can't sing. So here's your chance to find out what happened in a boardroom. And right now, I get to be Hezekiah number one. Because I'm looking across this boardroom right here, and I think, from Brother Odom over here to this gentleman back here, Mike Dykes, I think I'm the youngest one on the platform. I'm 30. Anybody younger than that on this platform? Okay. Oh, this is working great. I'm just spontaneous. This is the way things have to go with me, okay? First board meeting. Not interested, brethren, in the church treasury. Okay? Not interested in what I'm going to get. I did one time went and met a board of a particular church that called me and asked me if I was interested in taking the church. And so I said, before I thought, yes. So I caught a plane, and I flew up there, and I preached the first night, and it was like heaven to them, they said. And I wanted it. Oh, I wanted it bad. I wanted a big desk and a big office and a big chair. I wanted it. I wanted to be a pastor at that time. It changed drastically in 24 hours. The next night, Brother Magus preached again. And they said it was heaven or earth again. And then that dreaded moment came. When a brother walked up to me and said, "Now, are you ready to meet the Lord?" I thought I'd got that over with 13 years ago. And I said, "You know, I was just happy-go-lucky fella." I said, "Sure. Yeah, let's go back there and talk. It can't be that bad." We all walked back there, and they told me where to sit. So I sat. And then they all gathered around the boardroom. Okay? They had a bunch of board members. A whole bunch of them. They had probably about 10 more than they should have had. So here, they started in on young Hezekiah. One of them said, "I'll open this up with a question to Brother Creekmore." But it wasn't a question. That's how dumb he was. It was a statement. He said, "Young man," I said, "Yes, sir." "I think you are a God-called evangelist." And I said, "Thank you. But not a pastor." I said, "Well, I didn't know you was God." See, I don't know how to handle these guys. I just say what comes to my mind and forget it. And another one raised his hand and said, "I want to ask you a question about jewelry." Okay, so ask it. And some of you want me to tell you what I think about. Just listening on board reading, okay? I said, "Well, I think I would totally really get upset now." He was asking me about a ring. I said, "Well, I never had much experience about this and dictating all this. But I said, now I will get upset if you decide to take that ring and put it in your ear or your nose. Outside that," I said, "if it's in your ear or your nose, I can't handle that." Another board member said, and I knew it was coming, Brother Manny, I knew it. I could see it all over his face. He said, "Young man, what about the money?" I said, "What about the money?" He said, this is his exact words, "How much do you want?" I'm so dumb. I said, "All I can get." Bible says you have not because you ask not. But I didn't know I shouldn't have said that. Because when I said that, this one right over here, he said, "Uh-huh. You're going to be like the rest of those Pentecostal preachers. You're going to get you a big bushel, and you're going to stand out there in the church, and you're just going to rake it all in, and rake it all in, and rake it all in." After about an hour of listening to that, I done decided I'm not praying anymore about this. No more. I pushed back from the table. I stood up in that boardroom. And I said, "Brethren, I want to tell you and be honest with you. I have soon realized I don't want y'all, and y'all don't want me." And I went over to that brother that was upset about the money and me getting a bushel and raking it all in. And I said, "Before I leave here, I just want to tell you one thing. If I take my money and buy bubble gum, it's not any of your business." And I said, "Before I leave here, and while I'm on the road, I said, your business is to pay your tithes and keep your mouth shut about it." I'm still a man. I didn't get charged. Not interested, board members. from the treasure. That's what Hezekiah was there for. All that was going to fall into place. This young buck, Brother Travis, walked into his courtroom with the Levite and the priest and gathered them together. And he said, now look at here, guys. I've walked into a situation I don't quite appreciate what I see. Everything else is going to fall into place. We're worried about the treasury. We're worried about the income. We're worried about all of that. We're worried about my expense account. We're worried about my royal attire. We're worried about my scepter. We're worried about my crown. We're worried about all of that later. But the first thing that I want to happen, the first week in the first month, it's not how much we can accumulate in our treasure or what kind of attire you want me to wear. I got to know where is God at here in Jerusalem. Where's God at? I want to know in what place and in what position is God. Honey, he let our normal agreements. How do you do border meetings? Do you take votes? Secret or open? Open, that's good. All right, how many of you right here are in favor of us finding out where God is in the lives of the people? That's got to be better. That's got to be better. Alice, that's interested in finding out where God's at. Now, you all know how unified we are? 100% interested in trying to find out where God stands in your life. Thank you. Now, you have given me the permission. Okay? You've given me the permission to get out there and see what needs to be done. He went to the temple. He walked in there. When he walked in there, he found a brazen serpent and seen a pole fell over there burning incense. Burning incense was always symbolic of giving God worship. When that young district superintendent walked into that house of the Lord and seen that man giving worship to that idol, he done a little back step. Something began to boil. Something began to burn. And he reached way back here in his memory bank for the chance and say, wait a minute. That's not how my daddy David got it. He wasn't burning incense to no idol there. That's not the way I remember when David came here to Jerusalem. He brought an ark and he shouted with all of his might. Hallelujah. That's not what David done. He walked over there and he took that man that was burning incense. It was 9 at that time. That brazen serpent was 900 years old. And the Bible said up until that time, they were burning incense to it. For 900 years, somebody had been worshiping that thing. And God was the one that instituted and told Moses to put the brazen serpent out there. But God never intended for that symbol and that sign and that idol. He never intended for that to be God. He never intended for your church house to be God. He never intended for your church sign to be God. He never intended for that to happen. He never intended for this tabernacle to be God. It's the symbol. That's all. But the God that I serve has laid down a law. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God. Come on, Mississippi. We're going to tear down the house there. We're going to tear down the house there. God never intended for a man's church to become his God. I wish out the past I might feel more comfortable. But since I'm an evangelist and he said he'd do it 100 times over, I'm just going to preach like God all of it. I walked as an evangelist into a local man's church. I have preached for Chair Wayne Dillon. How many times? Five revivals. The Spears revival was his. Preached for Brother Crown. But that's Chair Wayne. I have never walked into your church, have I, and tried to take it over. No. It's always working. I've been with you how long? 6 weeks? Hadn't tried to take it over, have I? All right. Just get in there and help, okay? So I walked into that man's church thinking the same thing. Just going to help. Sunday morning, he met me in the vestibule. Oh, it was after Sunday school, after he had told me that I was allowed to exhort a little bit. That Sunday morning. Allowed to. Whether y'all allow me to preach this tonight or not, I do it. Because I'm telling you, Israel, we're putting God back where he belongs in the life of the church and in the life of our own lives. Somebody from the congregation, help us. Tear down the headstand and put God back where he belongs. Hallelujah! 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 God is your God! God is your God! So after Sunday school, he met me in a vestibule, put his hand on the back of my back, and he said, Brother Creekmore. I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you. These are his words now. I want you to follow the Lord. I said, thank you. He said, just remember, I'm the Lord in this place. He wasn't the Lord. He was in the husband. God never intended that he give us anything or bless us with anything that rises higher than he is in our lives. I don't care how large your church is, how small your church is. It's God that put it all together. It's God that put it all together. And to God, we give the glory and the honor and the praise. I decided as a young man that I would preach that night, since I kind of felt like things weren't quite right. I said, well, I'll just preach repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infant of the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. Everybody don't like that. So I walked out there. I gave me the service, and that's what I done. After the service was over with, he pulls my wife's grandmother, who had made the trip with us, into the office. She thought that he was complimenting my preaching. Because he said, does that boy always preach like that? And she said, oh, yeah. Isn't he just wonderful? He said, sister, he's just about to cause me to lose one of the best families in my church. She said, how? He didn't preach, but he's the same baptism and the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. He said, yeah, but I got a Trinity family out there, and they're not ready for it yet. He told her, he said, I wouldn't give him 15 cents for preaching. I drove a total of 400 miles, bought all of my meals that Saturday night and that Sunday, paid for everything, and left there, but not a check. Galloway, where you at? They calls me again. I'm gonna say, I know evangelist. I don't know where Bert Galloway is, but I'm telling you from the evangelist board, don't you ever say that again. But I decided from that moment, as a young preacher, dear God, if Acts 2:38 upsets them, what time am I supposed to preach it? I thought that was the thing to do. If they're standing there lost, if they're standing there believing in three gods, then I've got a right. You don't have to allow me to. I've got a right. But when you're busy burning incense to the hush hand, you forget about God and what you're supposed to do. But oh, I've got good news to tell you. From the boy, from the priest, and the Levite, we got to tear down to the hush hand and lift up Jesus. Lift up Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 When Hezekiah seen that man burning incense to that brazen serpent, wait a minute. I got permission from the board to bring revival back here. I put him in the same position as one called Jesus when he walked into the temple and seen them desecrating the house of God. He walked up to that fella burning incense. You come here. You. Turn around that way. I'm fixing to knock the fire out of you, okay? Young preacher Hezekiah walked into the house of God with a craft, and God was nowhere to be found. Burning incense to an idol. A church sign. A church building. Whatever. But that wasn't God. He walked over there, and in my mind, this is what I see him doing. You ready? That guy's so nervous, he don't know what to do. That young preacher walked into that church house. Oh, you gotta be nice to them. What I didn't tell you last night. What am I? Are you alive? That's how we pray people through the That poor priest was walking around there on that floor, and Hezekiah walked up now to the symbol. That's all it was meant to be. Not a god, not at all. The Bible did not say that he just said it aside. I'm sorry, but this is the way we always do things. It's the way it's got to be done. And so we're just going to put it right over here. No. The Bible doesn't even say he just picked it up and dropped it so it'd break in two. If he just would have broken it in two, they could have glued it back together. But when God gets ready to tear up some things and put down some things, but all of it, he does not walk down and resurrect it again. That's why I told the cripple man, take up your bed and walk. When I heal you, you will not come back here and lay down on this street. You will leave here walking and running and praising me. Come on.
now, people. Get rid of your worldliness. Get rid of your carnality. Get rid of your harshness. Don't just break it in two. Break it into pieces. Come on, Wayne, let's show them how to break it in pieces. The Bible says he broke it into pieces. You'll never be able to put it back together. Never. Preachers, as Brother Huntley said today, preach, preach, preach. But after you preach, 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 what then? The revival doesn't just come by just what I preach. No. If I preach it and you don't do anything with it, all you saints might as well join in, because all of these preachers up here have done so. We're going to tear down. To the groves where Baal and images were. After hearing the sermon, after believing the message, after hearing the preacher preach on carnality and worldliness and lukewarmness and being satisfied and being complacent, after they heard that, it hit them in their hearts and they ran from the temple to the problem. And the Bible says they cut down, they tore down, they kicked down, they begin to shatter it. I'm not worried about what they're going to do. I got to know when we leave here what you're going to do with this revival. If you're a preacher, preachers against worldliness, what are you going to do with it? If your preacher says, I'm sick and tired, or you stand on these trees and do nothing, what are you going to do? Careful, have allowed our talents to become the hush hand. If we're not careful, we will allow our ability to put together a sermon to become the hush hand. But after what I've heard in this town meeting, it does not matter how well I put together a sermon and how well I have notes. What matters is I will never reach a place that I won't need to fall before the feet of God and say, anoint me and help me. I cannot do it without you. Do you know what? If I'm is in the church, we're tired of programs. We're tired of programs. We're tired of the hush stand. Tired of it. Tired of it. Tired of it. Tired of it. A call came to a church where I was in revival. The pastor said, can I bring my choir down there to sing? They asked me. I said, I don't care. Fine. I'm for it. The choir came. My God, there was more choir members, almost as there were people in the church. They came and packed out the building. Pastor, my God, could they? Oh, Lord, they could sing. My God, could that choir sing? I sat there. And if it was slow, I cried. If it was fast, I shouted. Oh, what a choir. That choir director. My God. He got with it. Was it? Yeah. He had it down just right. Organ. Piano. Drums. Guitar. Good job, Carson. Oh, did they? Listen. Can you teach them movements, Brother Wolf, when they start to learn choir? Because this guy had it. He had it. I figure if they can get that much out of the choir by doing that, I could get a hook. But anyway, they had it. What a choir. They sang, we shouted, praise the Lord. Fine. That's good. But I have a message to preach. I wasn't trying to be the star. But what was I doing there? I wasn't there to watch him wiggle. But not me. When they got through and they turned the service to me, we gave them a little time to get down, had them all worshiping the Lord. We kept praising God on the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And then when I had them all to stand again, started to read my text, I looked out across that congregation, and 3/4 of the choir, with the choir leader, they were gone. Left. Vanished. Well, I went ahead and preached. But after the altar call, altar service was over with, I went over to the pastor. And I said, where did the choir go? He said, I don't know. And one of the choir members walked up there. I told you he's going to get quiet. And I said, where did the choir leader? That guy. Where did they go? He said, well, they had it planned to come down here and sing. And after they sung, they've all gone out to eat. I said, what? He said, yeah, they've all gone to eat. So I turned to the pastor. And I said, I want you to send a message to your choir leader. The next time he wants to bring a choir to my revival, and I have to sit there and watch him wiggle and shout with him and praise God with him, you tell him he's going to set his girl behind down on that pew, and he's going to hear me preach. That choir became a hush horn, but by the help and grace of God, you got to tear it down, break it in pieces, and put God back where he belongs. Now, it's going to get real quiet. What time is it? I've heard y'all tell every one of our bass speakers to preach. So I'm back time. Randy Wolf, look at me. Randy, when it comes to writing songs, I can't hold you a lot. I just can't do it. How do you do it? Come here. Come here, Randy. Randy? I've knocked a whole bunch down. Now, Randy, if I could just put together a song like you do, I might not have to preach so hard. No? I mean, if I could have been the one that got my pen. Y'all ever heard that song, More Than Wonderful, is that it? Oh, my God. Hey. Oh, breathtaking. That's fine. Okay. And this will shock you, Bubba, but I have been known to sing a song. I have been known. I've got three songs. One of them that I sing. I even sung it at a funeral. I don't know if that's because of how bad I do. I love him too much to feel him now. Y'all ever heard that song? What a song. And now, Lanny, did I understand them the other night to say at the Louisiana camp, this is our own. Hey, this is a Pentecostal. Pentecostal. Yeah. I'm talking about tongue talkers. Baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah. But I won't tell this of those that just done a recent concert overseas somewhere, and in my life did not even mention the name Jesus. And a country worship group out Jesus in the Holy Land. Buddy, I want you to know if that had been my partner in that concert, that's all they'd heard was Jesus. What has become the hush tag, the sound, is still secondary to Lanny, because the God in his eyes is still the king. Yeah. Now, you know I appreciate you, don't you? We hit it off just right, okay? He come to me that night, no cost, and said, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. And he has done it. Now, there's probably some of them jokers out there in the world. They wouldn't have said that. Because they eat up when the hush stands. Okay? Brother Wolf, our Lord Jesus' name, baptized, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, eye running, pew jumping, Holy Rollers. What kind of award did you win?
Damn, I'm proud of you. Grammy?
This is the Dove Award.
Dove Award. Honey, you listen to a first-class turkey diet. A Dove Award. Did you win a Grammy?
Standing on.
Okay. Somebody won a Grammy for his song. Now, here's what I've been wanting to say the whole time. This took a long time to say it. Award. I wouldn't care if you'd won 14 doves and 14 Grammys. If you didn't shout and cry and talk in tongues and praise God like you do, I will get a flood nickel for you. But oh, Hezekiah done found him a choir leader that knows where God's at. Knows. Hallelujah. Let it be said this day that Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is at the top of our lives. Jesus! Let them shut their mouths and never say Jesus. Let them get upset about the blood. But Hezekiah would. He's going to tear down the house and lift up Jesus. Ha. My God. Now, if we're not careful, I got to get back to the board. Board members, God never, hey y'all, let me do it again. Never intended for the office to be God.
Y'all sure y'all want this soul?
But I don't figure that God ever intended, you bought his chair, that even if you had an office, which I, Brother Kraft, ably told me the other night what organization was all about. He ably told me. But God never intended, just because a man had an office and was respected by his peers, that in the midst of Holy Ghost apostolic explosion, the cross is and this be the only shot you ever get out of it. You all, Travis, when you get to that general conference in Fort Worth, and you up on that platform with all them cross-legged officials, I'm going to be rooting for you. All right, sir. Well, Hezekiah, this ain't the way King David said. When David got in church, and if he'd have been here tonight, honey, that man, office at all, would have been right out there. Hallelujah! The office did not save you. The office did not save you. But God, Holy Spirit, and God done it all. You say, but that's the way it's always been. 900 years. Well, they serve it at the board meeting at church. Get up there and ask the ladies auxiliary. It's got an hour and a half tomorrow. Yeah. Choir. Thanks. And the Holy Ghost just falling. Right, right here. Oh, ain't that sweet. Look at our people. They just really get a good breath. his accounts, baby. Not in his accounts, baby. Not in his accounts, baby. In his accounts, baby. The priest and the Levites rejoice. Rejoice. Repair the temple. Open the doors. Rejoice out there. Pardon us up here while we are. My little boardroom shouts a little bit. Yeah! It's a Bible time. It's a Bible time. Open the door. Head on the host man. Revival. One more point. Praise! 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 When God called Gideon, when God called Gideon out of the cave, thou mighty man of valor, get out here, okay? I got him out there. Y'all know the story now. Here you got Gideon. Don't sit down like you've lost your best friend. Get up on the edge of your seat. Come on. Let's go. Look all the way back to the back table. Get up on the edge of that chair. I'm telling you, when you go back to your churches after this time meeting, you ought to walk in through those doors and look at the power of whoever it is behind that pulpit and say, preacher, I don't care what it is. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Tell me where Paul is. Tell me where the idolatry is. Tell me where the ungodliness is. I'll tear it down. I'll tear it down. I'll tear it down. Tell me. Tell me. Gideon had a revival, if you please. Got his army together on the edge. Got his army together. We're going to go fight the Midianites and the Amalekites. I think that's what the Bible says. 135,000 of the enemy is what somebody told me. 135,000. Now, Gideon started out with 32,000. My God, what a church. 32,000 God-bearers. 32,000 giving in an evangelistic offering. I'm calling when Brother Travis started taking that offering last night. I said, dumb, I thought it was for me. My God, I found out it was for the air conditioner. Oh, my God, what an offering. In his army. Come on, boys. Where are we going? We're going to go fight the Midianites. They like the grasshoppers. Oh, there's so many of them. Then, Brother Travis, God spoke to Gideon. Gideon? Yes, Lord. Too many. Too many. The scouts told me yesterday that the Midianites are like the grasshoppers. They're everywhere. I need every one of these men giving me 150% just to even stay up with those guys. Too many. He cut him down to 300. Gideon, you don't cut it down, Lord. Don't cut it down. Because when you come back from victory, I don't want Israel saying, by mine own hand, they themselves against me or boast and say, they done it. But I'm going to show you, it doesn't matter how many I have you, I have still got to be the captain. $300. What a church split. 32,000 to 300.
That is a real split. That's worse than you getting in that car.
That was a church split. Then Gideon met a man and had a dream.
My God, one moment, I'm packed out. I can't get off that word. One moment, they shouting over the text, and now he's cutting me down to 300.
Had a dream. But in Judges chapter 7, verse 15, before he ever went out to fight the Midianites, God gave him his answer.
Come on, devil.
And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream.
Wait a minute, stop right there. This seemed to be popular during this revival, having somebody to read for you, so I just thought I'd do it, you know.
It worked for Wayne, so I thought I'd do it. I've heard from this camp meeting the word dream used. Yeah, we've had a dream. Little Kraft told me the other night, Jackson, we've got a dream. Old Travis said, this is beyond our wildest dreams. Oh, it's just beyond what we have a dream. Okay? How many sat in this tabernacle? You got a dream about what's going to happen in your church.
And when it was so, and Gideon heard the telling of the dream.
Yeah, stand up. Come on, Buster Spears.
And the interpretation thereof.
Get up. Come on here. Yeah.
That he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel.
It's not enough to see the dream. And it's not just enough to see the interpretation. But the thing that you've got to do is worship. Worship. And then when you see the dream, and you get the interpretation, and you worship, don't sit down on it, but take it back to the people and tell them what happened. You know, arise, for the Lord has delivered into your hand the host of Midian. What are you standing there for? You hadn't found one person. You hadn't wielded one sword. You hadn't killed nobody. And God's already told you the battle belongs to you. It's yours. Hallelujah. You don't sit down and worry. You worship and talk about it. Would you guys start telling one another it's happening? Would you start telling one another it's happening?
It's happening! It's happening!
When Gideon, again, God's already cut his army down to 300.
Now keep standing, because I'm fixing this.
God said, Gideon,
got another word for you. Oh, okay. I know you told me it was mine. If it was mine, but don't make nobody else. Wait, I keep thinking of the family moving off. Please, let me keep 300, please. The men won't be taking their swords, their spears, and mercy.
Oh, God. I'm in Thailand for 4 years in New Bag. That's what you said, was in a New Bag, are you? No. Hey, we just lost 31,700 people. They gone. We gonna go out there with 305. We gonna do it. Well, if you wanted us to commit suicide, we could stay at home and done that. You could have killed them yourself. I got it, soldiers out there. They won't need the sword, Gideon.
Can you imagine how that man felt when he went out there to his 300 men that had already dedicated their lives to say, we're going to fight, we're going to fight. He had the dream. They told him, don't chase a dream. We're going to fight. And they all have to practice. Come on, brother. That's their practice. I mean, hopefully not the 300 of us. You're going to have to kill 1,000, you think? I'm going to have to kill. Come on, let's go. Come on. Come on. Don't tell me they went out there for chaff. Let's practice. Come on. Practice. And here comes the other one. Here it
is. He didn't have some fellas behind him carrying some crates.
Some man right there said that. Then he said, gentlemen, let's go.
No sword.
Can you imagine what it done to that?
There
you go. They just lost 31,700 people. And now here's this preacher saying, no sword. We're not going to do it our way. Our God.
That's it.
I can't lose it. And the picture? Oh, I did it. Can you imagine what it told that soldier getting his hands on that trumpet instead of his sword? When he got put in, he was just used to counting and going 5 knots. Now they done put in here 7. Hey, man. How do you do that? How do you turn that around? Now, this ain't the way we're supposed to be doing it. You never done like that. Come on. All right. Yeah. I know what I do with this. I put this in my mouth. Put this in Israel. And blows blaze up. What are we going to do with these? Get back to my mouth. What are we going to do with them? We're going to go out there. We're going to surround those grasshoppers. There ain't many of us. But we're going to do it anyway. No man will ever know what the 31,700 men thought of such seemingly foolish action, retaining only 300 men to fight such a multitude. Neither will it be known what the 300 thought who were left to fight alone. God had made a promise that in Leviticus 26:8, 100 would be able to put 10,000 to fight. And there is a reference to one chasing 1,000 and two men putting 10,000 to fight. In Deuteronomy, on this basis, as in Deuteronomy, Gideon's 300 men could have easily defeated 300,000 to 1.5 million warriors. I'm not measuring ourselves by the size of this world. I'm measuring us by God that sits on the throne. Guys, get your trumpets in your hand and get your pitcher with a line in it. Mister says that when the wave goes, they would burst into flames. We don't have no pitchers with light. I know I told you to put your sword down. I'm giving you permission, everybody, to pick your sword back up. Okay?
We're not going to reach the world by some measures. We're not going to reach the world by the way some are trying. We're going to do it God's way. God's way. We may catch the men in the hush stands out of us. We may look like a real bad minority. But you got to understand, with God, everything drastically changes. With God. What we're going to do is surround them rascals. Okay? We're not going to fight them the convention way. We're not going to fight them the way of the program. We don't do it God's way. He said, boys, when you hear me shout, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon, blow your trumpet and drink those pitchers and will shout unto the Lord. How many is ready to put the devil on the run? Not only in Mississippi, but in Alexandria, in Raleigh, in Wheeling, in Dallas, everywhere in the United States, in the world. How many is ready to turn the hush stand down and put God back where he belongs? Blow! 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 When we start worshiping God, I believe the Holy Ghost, for the holy, for the care, the fire, all over this sanctuary. How many of the girls back row feel God? How about in the middle? I can't hear you. I can't hear you. In the front. How about in the front? Back there. Back there. I can't hear you. There you go. Come on. There you go. Back there. Got the Holy Ghost. I can't hear you. All right, a few rows up from there. All of y'all right there, go back to the back and help them. Go help them. All right, again in the middle, I got to know. You ready to tear down the hush there? All of y'all back there, help them here. All of y'all up here, turn around to them, help them.
He sent a messenger before they had this little episode down to the camp to hear what they've been saying. I can't go into time to tell you all about that. All I can tell you is, like never before, the preachers are preaching. The church has got to respond. And that, together, is going to shake this world from one end to the other. Turn it upside down like you've never seen before. I don't care if you blow them things till you pass out. Don't you stop. If you do stop, you better start shouting. You do something. And I dare every person in this building to just stand there and look like a zombie. We have burned incense long enough for the hashtag. Let's go back to the bar, Brother Harvey, and let's do it all over again. Do it until we can't stand up. You know what I want you folks in the front right here to do? These first three or four rows, when they start singing and they start blowing these trumpets, I want y'all to leave your front right here and go back to the back and shout with that bunch back there. And I want every preacher that wants to be on the board of the Hezekiah to meet us down here at the front. I hope when they blew the trumpets and shouted the praises unto God, unto your soldier that didn't know a trumpet from a baseball bat, just begin to blow. Do it one time, Bob. That poor Midianite standing down there guarding heard it. And his buddy walked up to take over the watch. And his buddy said, "My turn." And this guy's standing there. "What is that I hear?" "Well, go on back and get you some shut eye. I'm up here." "What are they doing? Look. Why all the lights? What is that noise?" And he began to... "What are we doing? I don't know. But the more I hear that sound, the more I want to stab you. When they begin to worship God, God walked down there in the midst of the enemy, and God began to fight it.
You will with your shouting out.
Come on, Hezekiah,
I'm